This podcast is dedicated to Russell, the baby brother of Robert.
This podcast does not provide medical nor legal advice. Please listen to the complete disclosure at the end of the recording.
Hello and welcome to Everyone Dies, the podcast where we talk about serious illness, dying, death, and bereavement. I'm Marianne Matzo, a nurse practitioner, and I use my experience from working as a nurse for 46 years to help answer your questions about what happens at the end of life.
And I'm Charlie Navarette, an actor in New York City, and here to offer an every person viewpoint to our podcast. We are both here because we believe that the more you know, the better prepared you are to make difficult decisions.
So welcome to this week's show. Please relax, get yourself some sweet tea and cookies, and thank you for spending the next hour with Charlie and me as we talk about the death of a sibling and how grieving these types of deaths may be different than other deaths we experience. Like the BBC, we see our show as offering entertainment, enlightenment, education, and divide that into three halves to address each of these goals. Our main topic is in the second half, so feel free to fast forward to that chit-chat free zone. In the first half, Charlie has our recipe of the week, and I have a reading about consolation from Sue Miller's book, When I Was Gone. In the second half, I'll be talking about the connections between siblings and about our grief when they die. And in the third half, Charlie has an essay by Allison Kohner titled, 12 Things I Learned About Losing My Brother. So, Charlie, what's new?
Nothing too much. The weather keeps flopping up and down in New York. Sometimes it feels almost like summer, and then the temperature drops 20 degrees.
20 degrees?
Yeah, it's nuts. It does. And wow. I have a friend up in Maine, and she said the same thing. It dropped. Not recently, but I don't know. It just seems, to be the thing nowadays.
Yes, a lot of ups and downs, just like life.
Yes, indeed.
So I post all kinds of different things to Facebook about death and things that sometimes are silly and sometimes a little irreverent. I know that's hard to believe. But I posted something that said, if you're giving my eulogy, please end it with, that ass, though. And somebody wrote, wait, let me find it.
I'm sorry.
And somebody wrote.
That and also?
No. If you're giving my eulogy, please end it with, that ass, though. You know, like, you talk about people and you say, you know, he's a real jerk, but that ass, you know, get it? You know, think that's funny? No. So anyway,
so I said, okay, so I'm going to say that ass is not a compliment as opposed to someone who has a wonderful posterior.
No.
Posterior.
No, it is. That's what it's in reference to.
Okay. Someone has a great ass.
You know. Yeah, that makes up for a lot of other things. So this person who follows our stuff, Ryan, wrote, Marianne will be missed, as will the 30 orphans that also perished in the fire that day. That ass, though.
And it's funny, this is going to be bizarre. When I said, you mean that someone has a great posterior, a great ass, I saw an interview on TV, and they were speaking with the actress Emily Blunt, who's in a movie with Ryan Gosling, and it opens this week. And she said just that about Gosling. And now you said Ryan. So there we are.
The universe aligns.
Indeed.
So what do you have for a recipe, Charles?
Well, our recipe this week is Two Brothers Chocolate Cobs, which seems like the perfect sort of dessert to be named for brothers. This dessert is a close relative of the whoopie pie, a New England treat of chocolate cake filled with creamy vanilla filling. It is a perfect snack for your next funeral lunch and will make people say, oh, brother, This cake is gobs of deliciousness. Bon appetit!
Thank you.
Working on it, Julia Child thing.
Yes, you've been working on that for a while.
Oh, also, speaking about the dessert-y things, have you heard of this movie coming out? It'll be on Netflix. It's not, in my opinion, a real movie. Jerry Seinfeld's thing. What is it? The Battle of Kellogg's or something like that. Basically about the invention of the Pop-Tart.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it starts Friday on Netflix. So I've seen a few clips of it. It looked very, very funny. I mean, everyone from Jerry Seinfeld to Hugh Grant is in this thing. And it just looks very, very funny. But it's just that.
I remember to
make a breakfast dessert. That was the goal. Between Pop-Tart and Post. I'm sorry, what? I mean, between Kellogg's and Post.
I remember, like, God, almost 30 years ago. I forget even what country it was. I went to some lecture, and they were talking. Oh, gosh. I wish I could remember, like, the social details of it. But there was some war going on, and I don't know if it was in Africa. I don't know what it was, and people were starving. And so Americans dropped Pop-Tarts from the planes as like food because they were in their own little package. They're high in calories. And people were like, what the hell is this? What am I supposed to do with this?
I don't know if it's that, but I remember some, you know, airlift and dropping food. It was something ridiculous like that. I don't know if it was, wow. Huh.
Yeah, but it was like 30 years ago. It was a lot. And I remember thinking, that's hysterical. It's like, you know, it was not anything ever in their diet.
Right.
Let alone prepackaged food was not anything they'd seen before. And this is raining down from the sky. And people are like, we're not so sure about this. But we'll look forward to the Pop-Tarts thing. But on a more serious note, our reading this week is from Sue Miller's book, When I Was Gone. And talks about how we construct our ideas of an afterlife and how this language is used to console ourselves and others when someone dies. In the book, it's part of a sermon that's given at a worship service on All Saints' Day. And yet it seems these images, this language, have lost their power to console. If my grandmother, so well-schooled in the Bible, so instinctive a believer, so surrounded by old-fashioned father, came to question these promises, who among us in this more secular world can believe any more in such consolations? No, most of us, if we believe the Bible at all about eternal life, believe it purely as a metaphor. It must be something like a land of milk and honey. It is like a 12-gated city. It will be as though we experience shade and light all at once in the absence of night and hunger and thirst and pain. But even this has no power for most people. The little child whose parent dies cannot conceive an afterlife, even through metaphors. And why should such a vision console someone whose feeling is, I want my mommy. Bring me back my mommy. This question is, where is she now? Most of us, like that child in the face of the death of someone we love, inconsolable, yearning, in a pain that feels permanent, that feels it will always be a part of who we are. But pain may be a gift to us and to that child. Remember, after all, that pain is one of the ways we register in memory, the things that vanish, that are taken away. We fix them in our minds forever by yearning, by pain, by crying out. Pain, the pain that seems unbearable at the time, is memory, first imprinting step, the cornerstone of the temple we erect inside us is memory of the dead. Pain is a part of memory, and memory is a God-given gift. We pity the child who cries out. Perhaps we should pity more the younger child who doesn't, who cannot know this lost, who won't remember. For there will come a time when the lucky child who felt enough to weep then will be able to smile and say, "Remember when Mommy read us those stories? Remember when she danced? Remember when she made my costume?" When the friend who thought she would never recover from grief, when the husband or wife who thought his life was over will cease to cry, will be able to take pleasure in saying, "Remember how she used to lean her head back when she laughed? Remember how he loved to garden out there way past the last frost? Remember when she cut off all her hair and was so sorry? And the funny things. Remember how he loved those knock-knock jokes and how bad he was at telling them? Remember the time she reached for the pitcher and poured orange juice into her coffee and drank it anyway? And feel the pleasure in having her there again, in bringing him back to life for those moments. A new life, truly a life after death." Because if a metaphor is one of the ways that we have left to approach God, to begin to understand faith, memory itself is a living metaphor for the eternal life. Loss brings pain. Yes, but pain triggers memory, and memory is a kind of new birth within each of us. And it is that new birth, after long pain, that resurrection in memory, that to our surprise, perhaps comforts us. It comforts us. And that comfort and even joy, the comfort that rises within each of us by the grace of God, that comfort teaches us something here on earth about eternal life, makes us all feel something we can believe in about its promise. In this world, God gives us pain, but he gives us memory too, to change that pain to laughter, to joy, to bring the dead back into our lives, to comfort us.
Please go to our webpage for this week's recipe for Two Brothers Chocolate Gobs and additional resources for this program. Your tax-deductible donations are always welcome so that we can continue to offer you quality programming. Thank you in advance for making your donation at www.everyonedies.org. That's every, the number one, dies.org. You can also donate a bit every week at our site on Patreon. Just go to www.patreon.com. Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. And search for Everyone Dies. Marianne?
So this week we're going to talk about the death of a family member. The death of a family member can have a profound and long-lasting impact on the entire family. However, there is one member of the mourning family that is often forgotten or ignored as being a grieving person, and that is the sibling of the deceased. In some families, ignoring a sibling is part of the relationship. I can remember when I was growing up and the cereal boxes would be on the table, my brother would construct a fort around him, his cereal bowl, so that he could ignore the rest of us. Growing up, ignoring a brother or sister after a disagreement was how some parents manage a situation. You go to this room and you go to that room and you don't talk to each other until you can be nice to each other. Parents may tell kids, ignore him when the child is upset with the sibling's behavior. And we learn that siblings could be ignored. But we also learn that there are many advantages to be gained from engaging with our siblings. Siblings play an integral role in our lives. We learn how to think, cooperate, share, deal with emotions, and solve problems with our siblings. Sibling relationships are more than just companionship during childhood. These relationships, in fact, help us to make us who we are and they are expected to be a part of our future forever. Siblings are also important for our development throughout life. As the youngest child, I could watch the triumphs and mistakes of my sibs, and I could learn from them as I began to make my own decisions. Everything about their behavior affects us, both positively and negatively, and they are the teachers in our own lives. No matter how dysfunctional or functional a family is, we model our behavior after older siblings and usually look up to them. We tease the younger one. We tell secrets and share dreams of our futures. We support one another. We fight with each other and get over it. We dance and play together. We learn new life skills together, take vacations with the family, and we celebrate holidays and family traditions together. Some change the diapers of new siblings born after them and watch them take their first steps. We learn songs on the radio that mark moments in time never to be forgotten. We're competitive and get jealous of each other. Some siblings take a parental role with younger kids, whether we want them to or not. For all these reasons and more, sisters and brothers influence the journey that shapes our world. Growth Engine, which is a site on the internet, offers three reasons that the death of a sibling can be a different type of grieving experience. First, they're ignored grievers. When someone dies, each family member has their own personal experience of loss based on the relationship they had with the deceased. If the person who died is our mother, father, spouse, son, or daughter, each of these people had a distinctive role in our lives, and people have a sense of the gravity of the lost relationship and are typically offered the most support in their grieving. But sisters and brothers of the decedent often feel as though they have no claim to community support. It's as though they're somehow less important in the grieving process because they're just a sister or brother. This is in part due to society's accepted norms, because the focus of attention is on the parent, the spouse, and the children of the decedent. Surviving brothers and sisters are often not considered to have experienced as devastating a loss as the mother who lost her child or the wife who lost her husband. Even surviving siblings sometimes don't understand their grief and will minimize it, just as others seem to do. It can feel as though the siblings feel trumped by their grief of others. Siblings can sometimes be told that they are needed to be strong for their parents in their grief, and left feeling on the sidelines and alone in their grief, wondering who is supposed to be strong for them. It's important to find ways to feel support from people who will listen when you need to talk about the memory of your brother or sister. Second is the loss of your shared future. You can never really know how much a sibling means to you until they're gone. I've had two sisters die in the last 20 years, and there are still times I think about calling them to tell them about something that's going on, because I have a question about a recipe or some other odd detail I need explained. And then I stop and remember, once again, that they are not there and never will be again. Siblings have much to lose in their future without the person they counted on. This reminder can create an emptiness and sadness that lasts forever. Even though healing occurs, a sibling's death is never forgotten and leaves a void in the family. And lastly, survivor guilt. When a sibling dies, surviving siblings realize that they didn't get to finish their life. Survivors may wonder, well, why not me, they ask themselves. Why do I get to live longer and their life was cut short? Guilt is a sneaky and powerful emotion. But wait, there's more. Guilt can invade our daily thoughts. It can make one feel badly over saying something mean to a sibling, not being there when they died, not understanding how bad things were, or not getting to say goodbye. And I love you. These feelings are very real and cause stress on the health and wellness of survivors. But when we continually dissect the things we said or did to our sibling that we wish could be taken back, it's often a good idea to seek professional counseling from someone experienced in sibling death. Surviving siblings can see the world in entirely different ways, may have questions about how their own mortality, and often change their outlook about life. Real or imagined, survivors can think of their own death and question, how long are they going to live? The death of a sibling can have profound impact on adults, and their grief often goes overlooked. Some of the issues that adults may face when a sibling die include changes in the family dynamics. When a sibling dies, roles and responsibilities within the family can be disrupted and alter the family dynamic, leading to adjustments in how family members interact and support each other. Future family gatherings and special occasions will lack the presence of the deceased sibling, which changes the nature of these events. I had a sister who loved gadgets, as well as battery-operated figurines that would start to sing and dance whenever you walked past them. And she didn't have just one. She had a lot of them. You couldn't move in the house without setting something off. These things annoyed the heck out of people, as well as scaring people who forgot that they were there. When she died, they were no more. And it felt like things were just not as fun without them or her. Loss of close relationships. Siblings often share a deep bond, and losing a brother or sister means losing someone who knew your formative past. It can feel like losing both a sibling and a close friend and a confidant and a confidant all at once. Dealing with friends who aren't helpful. Friends and acquaintances may not fully understand the impact of sibling loss, leading to well-intentioned but unhelpful comments or advice. This can be isolating for the grieving sibling. There's the fear of developing the same illness. If a sibling died from an illness or condition, surviving siblings may worry about their own health and whether they are sick of the same condition. You know, there's that genetic link and things can run in families. And so if a brother has a major heart attack, you can say, oh, is that going to happen to me? And then there's the intense sadness and grief. Surviving siblings may experience profound sadness, crying, and sense of loss. Losing a brother or sister can leave a significant void in one's life. Surviving siblings may face multiple emotional challenges while grieving the loss and often feel like they are the forgotten mourners. Difficulty concentrating and forgetfulness are part of the symptoms that grieving siblings might find it hard to focus on tasks or remember things due to the emotional impact of the loss. There are also physical symptoms. Grief can also be expressed physically, leading to fatigue, sleep disturbances, headaches, weakness, and other bodily sensations. Emotional turmoil are those feelings of anger, guilt, regret, anxiety, and depression. Surviving siblings may also experience yearning for their lost sibling and worrying about their future. On the other hand, they may also undergo positive changes like increased emotional strength or a reevaluation of life's purpose. It's important to recognize and validate the grief experienced by surviving siblings and provide support during this challenging time. Siblings deserve to feel this important and deeply personal loss without judgment from others. Sometimes the death of a sibling falls into the category of disenfranchised grief, where society may not fully acknowledge or understand the impact of the death. If you or someone you know is dealing with the loss of a sibling, then seek professional support or connecting with others who have experienced similar losses. You might find that helpful. If you know someone who's had a sibling die, allow them the room to discuss memories if the subject comes up. It's important for them to recall their sister or brother and to keep them in their hearts because they existed, because they lived. And they'll always be a part of the surviving sibling's life. Remember that grieving is a unique process and everyone copes differently. Any thoughts or questions, Charlie?
Oh, so many. I know I'm fortunate because with myself and my siblings, we get along very well. And even when we disagree, we pretty much air our grievances and then just move on. And it wasn't until, which I still like to say, I became an orphan, you know, at the age of 66 or 65, whenever my dad died a couple of years ago. It was then at that time that I started to think, yeah, it just never dawned on me before that now, you know, one of my siblings is going to die. And being the oldest, you know, I told them, okay, no one can die before me. And I started thinking, I said it several times. And to your point, it was like, I just never thought. I knew my mother and father were going to die, and I expected they would die before us. But it's a, like you were saying, Marianne, it's a different dynamic when it's one of your siblings. Mm. And then I started thinking about, oh, maybe I will not be the first sibling to die. And it just really, I mean, the thought of it made me feel sad. And to your point, you need to allow yourself, you know, to grieve. So I did, and I do, but then I also think I look forward to more get-togethers.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to more just hanging around, you know, having dinners. When I'm in Detroit, going to Buddy's Pizza.
Rub it in.
Yeah. I'll give you the link to that. You can order. But it's just that. And I know it's unique because I have so many, you know, friends and acquaintances who have siblings, and they just do not get along with their siblings. And they have either found solace and comfort with friends who have become their, you know, family, which, you know, I think is fine. You know, you find family where you create it. So either friends have become like family, pets have become like family. Favorite bartenders become like family. So there's that. Sometimes the siblings just do not get along. But to your point.
And that's true. The friends and the bartenders and the other people don't have the memories of the family when you're young.
Yeah.
And so there's that piece that's missing.
Yep.
You know, and I'm aware, like being the youngest, that the family that my eldest sister grew up in, it was different than the family that I grew up in.
Yes.
Because there's a 15-year gap between her and I. Yeah. And things changed and people changed and circumstances changed. I appreciate what you're saying, but then there's also that other piece of it is that they know us all the way back.
Yes, exactly. And actually, we are similar in that, but in reverse, where you were the baby, my sister and I, yeah, and there's like a, you know, 12, 15-year gap between my sister and I, who are the oldest, and my brothers. And at some point, immediately, It's not like my mother and father were not there as good parental units. My sister and I just adored taking care of our brothers. It was just a lot of fun. And it's still a lot of fun. But you're right. And again, I've not experienced that, and I hope I never do. But yeah, to your point, yeah, you can have close friends, but you're right. There is still something about at the end, if you don't have that connection with your siblings, I don't want to say it'll come back to haunt you, but it's like you're saying, it's there.
I think it'll leave a hole is what it is. Like I still have a brother alive, and we'll talk and he'll tease me about, and I'll tease him. He was a Rush Limbaugh fan, and so our conversations are playful teasing between his view of life and my view of life. And and with a sibling, you can, you're not going to get canceled. You can say whatever you want, and he can say whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. And it's politically correct because he's my brother, and I'm his sister. But I have that with a whole lot of people that you worry about. Well, am I going to insult them? Or
gosh, you know what? I'm sorry. I've just heard from so many people that something like politics or just, points of view about whatever, they just cannot discuss it because they just can go at each other's throats.
We're not like that. Ours is more.
Oh, no, I understand. It's not with you. It's not with me.
Yeah.
But I've seen that too. So many people, and people do not believe that. Myself and my siblings, that we all get along. Yeah, sometimes we have disagreements, but then you move on. And I've just had so many people not believe that that I'm not telling the truth. So I don't know. New York is more cynical, so maybe that's part of it too.
It could be.
Yeah. In our third half, as Marianne mentioned, I have an essay for you by Allison Corner titled 12 Things I Learned from Losing My Brother. If you're someone who's lost a brother or sister, then we have something in common. At 13 years old, my 16-year-old brother died in a car accident. Even though it's now been 16 years since I lost him, I remember the day like it was yesterday. Ever since the day my brother was taken from us, it's now just me, my sister, my mom, and my dad. Our family dynamic changed completely. By no means were my parents experts at dealing with sibling grief. After all, they were trying to figure out how to live and cope without their child. But I was lucky enough to have them guide me through each day. My brother's death, which is something that still affects me to this very day, was and continues to be a learning experience. I'm hoping my words here, which I do not consider words of wisdom, but definitely a helping tool, will aid fellow siblings who are dealing with the death of a brother or a sister. Sometimes it's best to listen to someone who understands what you're going through. With that said, here are 12 things I learned after the death of my brother that I hope might help someone out there going through the same thing. 1, there is no right way to grieve. You know how everyone says there are 5 stages of grief? I think that's a load of crap. Those steps might work for some, but there's no set way to grieve. Everyone deals with grief differently, so don't let anyone tell you how to mourn, especially if they have no idea what you're going through. As long as you aren't harming yourself, then keep grieving how you see fit. 2, you should never be ashamed to cry. Tears are one of the best ways to relieve yourself of all those emotions you're feeling. Crying is not a sign of weakness. It's an emotion that also doubles as a type of medication. I always feel better after I express myself and have a good cry. Plus, it's not good to hold in emotions because they build up, and one way or another, they will escape. Which brings me to number three, it's okay to get angry. I still get angry to this day that my brother is dead. Anger is another normal part of grief that you're going to feel. It will come and go, but never feel ashamed about being angry. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Four, you'll hear a lot of stupid things. Here are just a few things you might hear when a sibling or anyone passes. How are you? He/she is in a better place. God needed her or him more than you. And I understand, among many others. Yes, these questions and statements are idiotic. But most of the time, the person is trying to show compassion and have no idea what to say. As irritating as it might be, you'll grit your teeth and just get through the conversation. On the other hand, you might even explode because you just can't take it anymore. Trust me, that is all normal. Try to explain to the person why you're upset, and hopefully they will learn how to treat someone who's grieving. Next, sometimes you'll be forgotten. I like to call siblings dealing with the death of a brother or sister the forgotten ones. Now, I'm not saying everyone forgets us, ignores us, and disregards that we've lost a sibling, but sometimes parents get more attention for losing a child. At times, we are overlooked and people forget that we're also dealing with a loss and grieving. My suggestion? Let your voice be heard, because you might be able to open someone else's eyes to sibling grief. Next, extended family might let you down. This might surprise some, but more often than not, extended family doesn't stick around during a major loss. Some are afraid it might happen to them, while others just don't understand why you're a different person. Death changes a lot, and sadly, this can be a harsh reality. Next, the most surprising people will lend a helping hand. In my experience, I have found strangers and the most surprising people are there for you. It's a nice surprise to know that even though some family might not be there, that others will want to try to understand, lend a helping hand, and give you a shoulder to cry on. Next, you'll never be the same, and that's okay. Ever since my brother's death, I haven't been the same. Death changes you, and that's okay. You'll grow, learn, and adapt as the years pass by. Don't ever think that you need to be the same person before your brother or sister died, because that's not healthy, logical, or realistic. You shouldn't have to feel guilty when you're happy. It's okay to laugh, smile, and be happy. Just because you aren't crying or sad every day doesn't mean you've forgotten your sibling. It just means you're adapting and coping. Trust me, in the back of your mind, your brother or sister will always be there. Next, things will never be easy, but they will be different. Does it ever get easier? No, but it does get different. You'll also have your bad days, because the pain that comes with the death of a sibling never goes away. It's hard to explain, unless you know what I'm talking about, and different is the best way to describe it. And lastly, it's okay to live your life. At first, your life might feel on hold, or you might feel like you'll never be able to do anything ever again. However, as time passes, you'll get back into the swing of things. You still need to live your life, do what makes you happy, and follow your dreams. Just because you're thinking about you doesn't mean you've forgotten your brother or sister. Not even close. And that's it for this week's episode. Please stay tuned for the continuing saga of Everyone Dies, and thank you for listening. This is Charlie Navarette, and from the great American composer and lyricist Irving Berlin, the song is ended, but the melody lingers on.
And I'm Marianne Matzo, and we'll see you next week. Remember, every day is a gift.
This podcast does not provide medical advice. All discussion on this podcast, such as treatments, dosages, outcomes, charts, patient profiles, advice, messages, and any other discussion are for informational purposes only and are not a substitute for professional medical advice or treatment. Always seek the advice of your primary care practitioner or other qualified health providers with any questions that you may have regarding your health. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard from this podcast. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Everyone Dies does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, practitioners, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned in this podcast. Reliance on any information provided in this podcast by persons appearing on this podcast at the invitation of Everyone Dies or by other members is solely at your own risk.